It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
Hey everyone, thanks again for giving us a listen. We are the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, all presented by Daily Joust. If you like daily fantasy sports, you've come to the right place, because this is the podcast bringing you up to date on all the big promotions, all the big happenings going on in daily fantasy, and of course, giving you still some game analysis to help you build some winning rosters, because as we always say, you get out what you put in. So I know a lot of you've got jobs. You know, it's easier for you to listen to a 20, 30-minute podcast than it is to do a couple hours of research. So hopefully I will go through and do some of that for you. Before we get to that, got to let you know what exactly we've got going. A little bit later on the podcast, going to be joined by the very first qualifier in the Daily Fantasy Baseball Championship, Dusty J 155. He is going to come on the podcast for a little bit and tell us about his big win last week. And with that, let's segue right into what we've got going on tonight over there at FanDuel. Of course, the second qualifier for the Daily Fantasy Baseball Championship. And it's a $10 entry. Right now, there's about 700 people entered. I think it'll probably get closer to about 1,200 to 1,300. But there could still be a little bit of a quote-unquote overlay in this qualifier. But regardless, overlay or not, you need to go over there and get involved in this, because you're talking about a chance to win $100,000. And it's simple by just putting together a $10 team. And strategies involved, obviously, there's got to be a lot of it that you can look at. It's going to take a little bit of luck. Actually, it's probably going to take a lot of luck to beat that many people. The team stack, I don't think the team stack has really worked a whole lot this season, but maybe we're due for a big day with the team stack, because obviously, if you don't know what I'm talking about, if you stack a lot of players from the same team, you can get more bang for your buck, because just kind of like hockey, where one scoring event gives points to numerous people, the same thing holds true in baseball. So if somebody hits a home run and there's three people on base, you have all those people. You also get the runs, the RBIs, the home runs. You get the whole kit and caboodle. So that could be a decent strategy when you go against a field that big. But definitely go over there to FanDuel. Again, $250,000 is the entire prize pool, but $100,000 to the winner. And if you get qualified, you're going to Vegas for the final. It's going to be a great event once again out there in Las Vegas. Also, over there on draft day, they've got another giant prize pool tournament. This is their third one that they have done. They did one for football, basketball, and now it's baseball's turn. They're calling it the Money Ball. It's going to be on Sunday. And again, a lot of these entries are going to come late, but as it stands right now, 249 entries out of 2,777. So that means there's going to be good value. I can guarantee you there's going to be good value in this tournament. So go over there, throw a team or two in, get more bang for your buck with that. And, of course, first place wins $4,000, so that doesn't suck either. So make sure and give them a chance to, give them a chance to see what you think of their site, trying to draw some people over, bring in some new customers, and this is a good way to do it when you have monster prize pools like that. Over there on Daily Joust, do want to remind you that this is the final weekend to get your Super Joust qualifying seats. So if you are near the top 40 of the badge winners from the last Super Joust to this one, they've got a whole leaderboard. You can look and see where you rank. You want to be in the top 40. So if you're on that cutoff line, make sure you play enough games to gather a couple of extra badges. Also, should be running some more tournaments throughout the weekend that will be Super Joust qualifiers. And of course, the Super Joust is coming up, I think it's next Wednesday, and it is going to be a $10,000 prize pool and two tickets to the NBA Finals to whoever wins that. You can have up to five entries in this tournament, so that is going on as well. And Fantasy Feud, we talked about them yesterday quite a bit. They are back up and running, or not back up and running, but they are up and running, and the Grinders promotion has already started, so start going over there, playing games. Make sure you sign up through our links. It'll make you eligible for a lot of free money that we are giving away. So just some of the things we have going on in this industry. Like I say, so much stuff between DFBC, Moneyball, Super Joust, new sites. It's just unbelievable how this industry is growing. So lots of places to get your action this week and enjoy some Major League Baseball and NBA this Saturday and Sunday. But with that, we've got a full night of baseball together. Again, the Fantasy Baseball Championship on FanDuel's tonight. So you can take some of these picks and do what you will with them. But let's start out with it right now.
Get about the curveball, Ricky. Give him a heater.
Again, quite a few day games in Major League Baseball today. I'm going to bypass those and go directly to the 7 o'clock games. Again, so everybody listening to this podcast, hopefully this information will be relevant to you. Let's start it out with Cincinnati and Washington. Bronson Arroyo against Mr. Zimmerman. And Jordan Zimmerman, he's 1-0 with a 2.70 ERA against the Reds in two starts last year. And probably has a pretty good shot to put together a good outing in this one, because when Wilson Valdez and Ryan Hannigan have the best split stats against you, that should be a good sign that things are going to go well. Joey Votto's 2-for-5 with a home run, but not all that impressive. But Ryan Hannigan is 5-for-5, so if he's in the lineup, you might want to consider him. He's going against Bronson Arroyo, who's not very good. 1-2, 4.56 ERA and 4 starts against Washington last year. Ryan Zimmerman off to a slow start, 1.92 batting average and only 2 RBIs, but that's going to improve and might even improve today. Goes 8-for-23 with 2 doubles against Bronson Arroyo. Roger Bernardina, 4-for-4 in his career against Arroyo, and Xavier Nady, 7-for-24 with a couple of homers. So if those outfielders work their way into the lineup, could be some good value with them. Houston and Miami, Harold against Nolasco, of course. Miami has won 14 of the last 16 games at home against Houston, so gotta like their chances in this one. But Lucas Harrell was a stud in his debut, gave up 3 hits in 7 innings, 4 Ks, and no walks. Jose Reyes has not gotten off to a great start, only batting .233 with a couple of runs, 2 stolen bases, was also caught twice. I think he's going to get rolling eventually, might even start in this game today, as I think Harrell's going to come back down to earth a little bit. Ricky Nolasco could be a smart pitching play today, 1.73 ERA with 20 Ks and 1 walk, and also had 2 complete games in the 3 starts last year against Houston. J.D. Martinez has had a hit in the last 3 games, including a homer just yesterday. And Chris Johnson, he's got decent splits against Nolasco, 3-for-7. Brian Bogusevich, only 1 at-bat, but did have a double. So all in all, Ricky Nolasco looking like a smart play tonight for Miami. New York Mets against Philadelphia Phillies, R.A. Dickey against Cliff Lee. Lee is 2-0 with a .43 ERA in 3 starts. That's 1 earned run in 21 innings against the New York Mets. So Cliff Lee definitely has their number. He's going to be expensive, but the lineup over there in New York isn't impressive. And let's face it, he's got great historical stats to back him up. David Wright to return probably tonight. 2-for-7, 3 Ks off of Cliff Lee, and really no other good numbers to base on here for the New York Mets. R.A. Dickey, 2-3, 2.61 ERA in 6 starts against Philadelphia. Shane Victorino has 2 doubles and a homer against R.A. Dickey in 11 at-bats, so he's also coming off a nice game yesterday. And Carlos Ruiz, 4-for-10. Two guys probably to avoid, though. Jimmy Rollins, only 1-for-14 against the knuckleballer, while Hunter Pence is 2-for-12. So usually if you either are really good at hitting a knuckleball or you're really bad, those guys are really bad. So do not mess with them today. Baltimore and Toronto, Tommy Hunter, Brandon Morrow face off up there north of the border. And Jose Bautista, 0-for-12 with only... he's 0 for his last 12, only 2 home runs so far, and a .219 batting average against Baltimore last year. So he didn't really have a good season against the Orioles. But as a team, the Blue Jays hit pretty good, .280 as a team, and they've won 12 out of the last 18 games. Tommy Hunter, 0-2 with a 7.43 ERA in the 2 starts up in Toronto. And this might be a potential for a team stack if you think a guy like Bautista can get it together. But Yunel Escobar, put him in your lineup today, 6-for-11, 3 doubles and a homer against Tommy Hummer. And Brett Lowry also 3-for-8. J.P. Arencibia, 1-for-10. Wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't start today with those kind of numbers. And Adam Lynn also 3-for-19 in his career. Brandon Morrow, I love his stuff. He is absolutely filthy, but he can get a little bit wild at times, and I think he's had that problem with Baltimore in the past. 0-2 with a 7.36 ERA last year against Baltimore. Matt Wieters, 0 for 16 in Rogers Center, but batting 364 this year, and was 7 for 13 in this past series against the Yankees. One guy who has done very well against Brandon Morrow's J.J. Hardy. He's only had 3 at-bats, but 2 of those went for home runs. Adam Jones, also 5 for 17 with a home run. And Matt Wieters, Nolan Reimold, Chris Davis all have home runs and limited at-bats against Morrow. So another game which could be high-scoring, especially if Morrow cannot find the plate. Milwaukee and Atlanta, Randy Wolf, Jair Jurgens on the mound today. And the Braves are not hitting real well, but Jason Hayward looks like he might have found his swing from a couple of seasons ago, batting 316 with a homer. Chipper Jones, 4 for 9 since coming off the disabled list. Brian McCann, 5 for 12 with a homer against Randy Wolf. Chipper Jones batting 377 with 4 home runs, 7 doubles, and 53 at-bats. So those guys are good options against Randy Wolf. Michael Bourne is not, though. 1 for 17, 7 strikeouts against Wolf, so ignore him today. As for Jurgens, not very good in the spring, was not very good in his first start. Not sure on the status of Ryan Braun, so make sure you check him out before you put him in your lineup. But Aramis Ramirez, 5 for 12 with a homer. Also Ricky Weeks, 3 for 7. Not great numbers against Jurgens, but 0 strikeouts, which is pretty impressive for a guy who strikes out quite a bit. Texas and Minnesota, Matt Harrison, Anthony Swarzyk face off. The Rangers have been awful in the Twins' new ballpark. 1-9 so far is their record. Outscored 60 runs to 34. In the Rangers, they have one home run in 114 at-bats in Minnesota, while they have one home run in every 36 at-bats in every other road park. So, pretty interesting stat over the last couple of years. Harrison, though, 1.35 ERA in 2 starts versus the Twins. And he was 5-0, 2.21 ERA in his last 6 regular season starts. And throw on top of that, that he's been really good on the road in Minnesota. Up until the last couple games, hadn't been hitting the ball all that well. Harrison could be a sleeper play at the pitching position. Justin Morneau, 2 for 4 with 2 doubles and 0 Ks against him. Also Joe Mauer, 2 for 7 with a home run and 3 walks. Denard Span, 3 for 6 and a double. Josh Willingham, I wouldn't put him in my lineup, and I wouldn't put him in Minnesota's lineup. 1 for 7 with 5 strikeouts against Matt Harrison. Twins offense, though, got it going the last 2 games. 16 runs and 29 hits against the Angels. As for Swarzak, really just a long reliever, so I'm doubting he's going to go more than maybe 5-6 innings absolute tops. Not great numbers, really, by anybody on Texas against him, but he's not a play in my mind. Even though the Rangers haven't hit well in Minnesota, they still have a dynamic offense, and the guy's just, you know, he's not going to win you a fantasy league, so ignore Anthony Swarzyk today. Arizona and Colorado, Daniel Hudson against Juan Nicasio. Arizona 5-1 to start the year, kind of picking up where they left off last season when they had a nice run. And Daniel Hudson, 2.73 ERA in 4 career starts against the Rockies. Looked pretty awful in the opener and very risky play out there in Coors Field. Carlos Gonzalez, 1 for 7 versus Hudson, 2 low, 2 for 11. One guy with decent numbers is Dexter Fowler, 4 for 11, 2 doubles. Juan Nicasio, 4-1 with a 1.98 ERA in Coors last season before he got hurt, so he definitely liked pitching in that home park and could be a decent option. No stats to really go on historically against Nicasio for Arizona. Oakland and Seattle play again. Bartolo Colon and Felix Hernandez, 3rd start of the season versus the opponent for both of these pitchers. It's kind of strange considering we've only played like 2 weeks of the season. But Felix, he's dominated Oakland. He's won 6 straight decisions, 12-2, with a 2.57 ERA in the last 19 starts. And he's also won 5 of the last, 5 straight at home with a 1.77 ERA. And all-time 7-2 with a 2.07 ERA in the 10 all-time matchups against Oakland in Safeco. So obviously going to be expensive, but if you want to spend, Felix is a good guy to do it on. Only guy who hits him really well is Kurt Suzuki. 313, 3 doubles and a homer. Not much else in terms of a whole lot of success for Oakland against Felix Hernandez. Fatty Bartolo Colon gave up 7 runs, 10 hits, and 4 in a 3rd innings in an 8-7 loss the last game against Seattle. And historically, he's 7-0 with a 1.86 ERA in his last 8 starts in Seattle. But some of those numbers are from like 2008. Like, that's when the last time he's pitched. I think Griffey was still, you know, in a Mariners uniform back then. It's crazy. So ignore that. Bartolo Colon's old and he's fat. And Ichiro bets 303 off him. Sean Figgins. Oh, did I call him Sean? I meant Sean Figgins. 5-for-12. Good matchup for both those guys as Kurt Suzuki, not a very good catcher behind the plate in terms of throwing people out. So good chance you could see some stolen bases by them. Last game to discuss, San Diego and the Dodgers. Clayton Richard and Aaron Harang. Clayton Richard has owned the Dodgers, 5-1, 2.18 ERA in 8 career starts. And Matt Kemp, though, has done pretty well against him. The right-handers, 7-for-21 with a homer. And Juan Uribe, also 9-for-21 with 2 homers. But probably stay away from the lefties. Both James Loney and Andre Ethier are 3-for-15 and 2-for-19 against Richard. Aaron Harang, on the other hand, 0-4 with a 5.91 ERA in his last 5 starts against San Diego. That's not good because San Diego, they're not a good offensive team. So if you're giving up runs to them, not a good sign. 5 walks is what he gave up last game. So I think this is a good opportunity here for San Diego to maybe get off the schneid. I like Cameron Maben tonight. 4-for-10 and a homer. Chase Headley also 2-for-4 with 3 walks. Jeremy Hermedia 7-for-15 and 2 home runs in his career, all against Aaron Harang. So that's the breakdown of baseball for tonight. Best of luck as always. I want to take a quick moment to say thank you to my good friends over there at DailyJoust.com. They are a fine sponsor here of the podcast. Super Joust just coming up next week. I'm excited for it. Going to defend my crown. I've got 5 seats, I believe, into the Super Joust, so hopefully I can become Super Joust 1 and Super Bowl Joust 2 champion. Because wasn't the Packers, didn't the Packers win Super Bowl 1 and Super Bowl 2? So it would be only fitting if DB730 did the same thing. But make sure you head on over there, check out their site. Got lots of offerings going on. Anything from solo contests to survivor tournaments to the solo survivor tournaments. And just 50-50 contests that you can customize to your own liking. I think they've got a $1,000 guaranteed field tonight for Major League Baseball, if you're looking for a GPP over there. And just all in all, great customer service and a good product. And they've been a wonderful sponsor here of the podcast since the first day it started. So if you enjoy this show, if you enjoy the podcast, make sure you support them. They're the people that make it happen. They are DailyJoust.com. Okay, I'm going to zoom real quick through these NBA games tonight, and I say that because this podcast is going to take forever otherwise. So let's quickly go through some quick stats and break down a couple of guys that I may like tonight in the NBA. Let's start it off there in the Eastern Conference. Bring up my list of games, yes. And that's the Cavaliers and the Pacers is the first one we want to discuss here today. And these teams just played the other day. Darren Collison probably going to return, so I think George Hill, his run of good play, is likely to end. Danny Granger historically does very well against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And Roy Hibbert had 11-11-5-2-4. That's good for 34 fantasy points in the last matchup. Anton Jameson 21-8 in the last game against Indiana. And Lester Hudson finally available over there on FanDuel for $5,000. Pretty cheap considering the production he's had. As long as Kyrie Irving is out, which he looks to be, not a bad option there. Hawks and Orlando Magic. Dwight Howard likely to be out. Big Baby Davis has been money. He's been averaging over 32 fantasy points in 4 of the last 5 games for the Magic. Orlando's going to be pretty soft in the paint, so that should mean big games for Josh Smith and Zaza Pachulia. Smith averaging 23-9 in the last 11 against the Magic. Jameer Nelson playing well, though. Scored 27 fantasy points in each of the last 2 contests. And J.J. Redick, 28-25-26. Those are fantasy output for him in the last 3. Philadelphia, New Jersey, again, another team just played, teams just played a couple of days ago. Philly blew them out. Might happen again. Lou Williams had one of his bigger games of the season, 28-5 in 30 minutes. Thaddeus Young been over 27 fantasy points in 3 of the last 4. And even Spencer Hawes came off the bench in that game, had 19-8. Darren Williams had 34 in the first matchup, only 14-6-5 in the second one. Also, Chris Humphreys, 20-10 in the last game against the 76ers. 10-man rotation going right now for New Jersey, so it's kind of tough to find some sleepers in that game. Celtics and Raptors, this is a game which I think we're going to see blowout potential here. Rajon Rondo on fire. Streak of 10 assists has now hit 19 games, just coming off a triple-double. So this could be a blowout. Jose Calderon, 17 and 14 in the last game against Boston. But honestly, I don't think there's much in the way of plays in this game. Maybe Ed Davis in a sleeper option with Bargnani and Kleiza likely to be out. He had a double-double in the last game. Heat and Bobcats, again, besides Chris Bosh, I think you can ignore everything else in this because the Heat will probably win by about 30 points. And let's face it, taking the Bobcats, whether it's DJ Augustine, Kemba Walker, or BJ Mullins, there's just no options there. That team is so bad. So pretty much Chris Bosh is the only guy I'm considering in that game. Carmelo Anthony, 55, 48, 49 in the last three games for the Knicks. They take on the Wizards. Very important game for them as they try to hold on to the number 8 spot. Tyson Chandler averaging 28 fantasy points in the last 7, also 43 fantasy points in the last game. And Kevin Serafin really been playing well, 27 fantasy points in average over the last 7 games. Jazz and Hornets, make sure you check our Twitter feed. We're going to have tons of injury news in this game. Lots of guys on the Jazz and the Hornets are out. No word yet on Eric Gordon if he's going to play. Guy who I've really liked is Gordon Hayward. He has just been stepping up his play big time, and he continues to. And with all the injuries there, he's just going to get close to 40 minutes, it seems, a night, and he's been doing a whole heck of a lot with it. The Pistons and the Bucks. Pistons played last night, might be a little bit fatigued, but the guy to look at in this game is Monte Ellis, averaging 25 points per game over the last 5 games. So he is starting to get on track. Definitely consider him in your lineup today. Greg Monroe had a nice game the last night against Charlotte, but then again, every big man has a nice game against Charlotte. Suns and Rockets, Goran Dragic still getting it done nightly for the Rockets. Definitely recommending him as a play. Kyle Lowry getting more and more minutes, but not really sure who that's taking stats away from. So I would ignore him as a play, but if you want to look to Courtney Lee, as long as Kevin Martin is out, he's a guy definitely to consider. As for the Suns, Steve Nash has still been mediocre. The best player on that team the last couple of weeks has been Shannon Brown. He's just been a double-figure scoring machine. He's been right around the 20 fantasy point mark, it seems, nightly. So if you can get him as a good cheap play, definitely consider him there. Kings and Thunder should be another blowout here as the Kings don't have much to play for. Thunder still trying to hold on to that number one spot in the Western Conference. Russell Westbrook coming off a pretty lousy game the last game. I think he bounces back big against this Kings team that does not play defense. He likes that up-tempo type game. When he gets frustrated, it's when it's kind of slowed down to the half-court type, and I don't see that happening today. So I definitely think Russell Westbrook's the stud I like in this one. DeMarcus Cousins, you don't know which one you're going to get from night to night. The guy who's good for 50 or the guy who gets you 17. You really don't know. So he's risky. Never put a guy like that in all your lineups, but if you want to throw him in one or two, that's probably the better way to do it. Marcus Thornton didn't have a bad game the last time out. Tyreek Evans has been pretty good as of late. Isaiah Thomas has not. Probably a good reason to avoid him. Last two games to discuss, Nuggets and Lakers tonight. Of course, Andrew Bynum had that insane 30-rebound game yesterday. And I don't think he's going to go for 30 rebounds, but I think he's going to have another big game here against the Nuggets. They don't have a whole lot of size. JaVale McGee comes off the bench, so he's got to, you know, compete with Costa Kufis and Kenneth Faried for rebounds. So I definitely like Andrew Bynum tonight. Same with Pau Gasol. Both of these guys, as soon as Kobe Bryant is out, these guys have stepped up their game offensively. So I definitely like them. And Meta World Peace is actually looking like a legit player. I mean, this guy for a while just did not fit whatsoever, but he's definitely picked up his play and looks like a good option tonight. As for the Nuggets, big fan of Ty Lawson, especially here because I don't think the Lakers defend the point guard position all that well. So I think Ty Lawson could do well in this game. Wilson Chandler likely still to be out, so that means more playing time for Aaron Aflalo. And Danilo Gallinari could put some numbers, especially based on the value as of late with him. He might be able to get the job done. Last game to talk about, Mavericks and Blazers. Mavericks played last night against Golden State. Portland, on the other hand, is pretty banged up. LaMarcus Aldridge is out. I think it was like 80% of the people of my 20-man had J.J. Hickson last night or the other night, and I'm sure it's probably going to be similar to that. He's going to get lots of minutes, and he's going to do a lot with them. So put him in your lineup. The guy who's actually done pretty good for them is Jamal Crawford, moved into the starting lineup, I think had 36 points just the other day. So he's starting to get some more confidence. And let's face it, when his shot's falling, the guy's a scoring machine. No question about that. As for the Mavericks, obviously Dirk Nowitzki, I think Roddy Bubois had a great game yesterday. I watched a good chunk of it. And I'll tell you what, he needs to be on the floor for them because he is much better than Jason Kidd. Although Kidd, very consistent, can hit the outside shot, Bubois is more of the playmaker. Also, Sean Marion's actually done pretty well on the glass as of late. So just a couple of guys to consider there for the NBA. Full slate of games this Friday night. So best of luck in your matchups. Joining us now on the podcast, figured we'd bring on the very first Daily Fantasy Baseball Championship qualifier over there on FanDuel. Of course, today you can get in for the second qualification. And, of course, the first winner was Dusty J, 155. He goes by Dusty Jordan is his real name. And we thank him for spending some time with us on the podcast. Dusty, how does it feel to be the first guy into the mix here for the Daily Baseball Championship? 100K going to the winner. I got to imagine you're pretty stoked.
Yeah, I'm really stoked. It's actually hard to believe. I'm still trying to process the whole thing.
Now, what's your history as a daily fantasy player? I mean, I looked a little bit on your past performances or your money won, and you're not a total new player. I know there's lots of new players coming into the industry, but you have a little bit of experience. So tell me about how long you've been playing at FanDuel and how long you've been playing daily fantasy.
Well, I started last October or so, something like that, with fantasy football. Not that great at that. Played fantasy basketball. I've done a little better at that. In general, fantasy baseball tends to be my stronger suit anyway, and this is actually only the second day that I played fantasy baseball on FanDuel because, like I said, I didn't start till last October on FanDuel. So,
now, how did that go since you're kind of new and inexperienced with the daily side of fantasy baseball? I think you've been mentioned you were a season-long player in the past, but how did you go about putting your team together? What kind of research did you go with, or was this just kind of like a gut play and just kind of pick players randomly? Tell me your thought process in putting that team together that got you that trip to Vegas.
My initial thought process was trying to get a stud pitcher. You know, I was like, it looks to me like the pitchers can score a lot of points if they have a big day. So obviously, I went with Jared Weaver. I liked his matchup a lot. He obviously has a lot of potential to strike people out. You know, he's going to get Kansas City, so a lot of potential for a win there. And then I just tried to look for lower tier players who have power. I mean, really, like I bought Adam Dunn at first base. He's pretty cheap on there. You know, he hit a home run. I had, I think, 5-6 guys go yard. So, you know, little luck. Mostly Jared Weaver, though.
So did you do any research on the players themselves in terms of, like, matchups, lefty-righty, batter-pitcher, or was it kind of strictly kind of catch some lightning in a bottle with some home run hitters? Because you definitely did that with, like you mentioned, all those guys going yard.
Yeah, it actually wasn't playing the matchups. I just kind of went on gut feeling on most of the players. Like I said, I was trying to look for value with some of the cheaper players. You know, I went with a couple outfielders who had speed. I went with Ichiro. He actually didn't have that big of a day. Like I thought, Nick Markakis actually had a really big day for me, which that was a pretty good buy, of course. And then I always try to, I really like Ian Kinsler at second base. Obviously, who doesn't? He, you know, hits for a lot of power, and second base tends to be a weaker position. So I went with him. But like I said, I really, and also David Freese actually had a pretty big day. He's pretty cheap, third base. So, I really was focused on getting a strong pitcher. So once I was there, I kind of went with players I thought had a potential to have maybe one or two good at-bats and maybe do something with it.
Now, we had 1,600 entries in this tournament. How many did you put in? Was this a single entry for you, or did you have multiples?
Actually, just one entry, $10. That was it.
Wow. Pretty incredible. Now, you're watching the scoreboard, I imagine, at some point in time and see yourself inching closer to the top.
What was that feeling like? I mean, if you put the value on it, the seat itself is technically, I think I did the math or somebody did, it might be about like 16 grand based on what you can potentially win in the finals, you know, priced per seat. So, you know, what are you thinking here as it comes down to the stretch? I mean, are you, do you actually get nerves? Are you like, well, whatever happens, happens? Take me through that process of the, you know, the last few innings when, you know, you had a chance to, you know, take control and actually win this thing.
Well, first off, I was trying not to panic, really, or also trying not to get too excited and think, you know, I am going to win. I was just trying to just see what happens out. The Angels game was on ESPN2, so obviously I was watching the entire thing. I think about the sixth or seventh inning, you know, Jared Weaver struck out a couple guys, and I inched all the way to the top. So at that point, I had to call my friend, Aaron, and tell him, man, I'm in first place here. You know, there's still some time left. There's still some time left, so we, you know, who knows, but I'm actually could win this thing.
And you did. Now, the cool thing about this is, you know, obviously playing for $100,000, that's, you know, I think the best reference I heard was it's kind of decade-changing money. It's not necessarily life-changing, but, you know, it'll make your life a lot easier for the next 5 to 10 years. But the trip to Vegas, I was lucky enough to go for the football championship, and the people at FanDuel really take care of you out there. So that's going to be a great experience for you. Have you given any thought on who you're bringing with you to Vegas? I'm not sure if you're married or have a girlfriend or if you're just going to, you know, bring one of your boys. Have you thought about the plan for Vegas? I know it's a ways away, but it probably has crossed your mind, I imagine.
Yeah, it's been actually a long, long thought out process. I actually am married, so had to kind of do some finagling there. It's actually going to be just a guy's trip at this point. Well, so, my wife's actually never been, but I was able to convince her that, you know, 3 days of nothing but fantasy baseball might not be her thing.
And you know what? If you win $100,000, you can definitely take her on a trip to Vegas after the
fact. That's right. That's right.
Well, Dusty, I certainly appreciate you taking the time with us on the podcast today. Best of luck in the finals down the road, because, you know, it's quite an accomplishment to beat 1,600 people in an event. So congratulations again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, folks, that's going to wrap up the podcast for this Friday. Thank you so much for checking us out. Follow us over there on Twitter for all your up-to-date injury news and value plays and all sorts of daily fantasy-related stuff on our Twitter account, at RotoGrinders. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. And lastly, we thank you again. Check us out next week. It's been the RotoGrinders Daily Fantasy Fix, all presented by Daily Joust. And have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. See you, folks. Monday.